preparing for Dora changes. Melissa Patrick. Now that the village has seen the results of having Dora in the downtown, they look to add another day to the approved time. At the June Millersburg Village Council meeting, council looked at starting the process to add Sunday to the approved days for their downtown outdoor refreshment area, or Dora. There were two pieces of legislation to begin the process for council to consider. The first piece of legislation that Mayor Kelly Hoffe had for council regarding Dora was a resolution to be voted on under emergency.
A resolution to publish notice. So that one is just to put the notice out there for everyone. The reason why we declared it an emergency is so that if you guys decide to go ahead and pass that tonight, then we can read the ordinance amending the hours of operation. That ordinance cannot be read until this resolution passes. So if you decide to not pass that tonight, then we will do three readings of that, and then three readings of the Dora, which would put us past the Antique Festival. So it is entirely up to you guys whether you want to waive the second and third readings. I'm going to go ahead and read that by title only, and if you have any questions, then you can ask.
The village is required to publish notice to let the public know when they will be voting on any changes to the Dora times so that the public has time to come in and share any objections. Councilman Ryan Hirschberger confirmed with Mayor Hoffe that if they didn't pass this resolution under emergency, that it would be six readings until adding Sunday to Dora could be passed, which she confirmed. Councilman Bob Shoemaker would make the motion to waive the second and third readings, with Brent Hirschberger making the second. All would vote in favor but Hirschberger, who would vote no.
And if I can say, the reason I say no is only if I'm completely for Dora. I just think that either for me to, I know the word emergency because I was talking to Taylor earlier, it seems, but either we get on the ball sooner or we have multiple meetings in the summer, you know. I'm definitely for Dora on Sunday.
Councilwoman Andrea Kellogg would explain why she voted yes to do it under emergency.
So if you look into the reasons for emergencies necessary for the peace, health, welfare, and safety of the village. So I'm sure I'm going to get, you know, crap later. The welfare has to do with promoting business in downtown. And so I just want to make that clear that that's why I just want to say that I would be a hypocrite if I didn't vote for something to promote the downtown business.
The resolution would pass unanimously to publish the notice of publication of the ordinance to change the Dora hours to add Sundays. They would have the first reading of the ordinance, and then Councilman Tom Vaughn would ask if they were going to approve the ordinance next month and waive the second and third readings.
We had a discussion earlier about only having one council meeting. If depending on what the legislation was, we would do a first reading. They would have 30 days before, they'd have 4 weeks before the next council meeting, okay. And then we would do a second and third at the second council meeting for the next council meeting.
Fiscal Officer Bobby Curry would say that if they did that, things would need to change.
Third reading would be on August 10th. That's important because that's when I have to publish that data. Yeah. So are you talking about passing the ordinance next council meeting or doing the three readings for the ordinance, which would make it August 10th? So if that's how we're going to proceed, I just need to change the date on the notice, which was in this resolution.
Council would have discussion, and since the goal of downtown Millersburg was to have Dora on Sunday by Antique Festival, and three readings of the ordinance would have it passed in August, that they'd leave it as written to do the three readings for the ordinance to add Sunday to Dora. Millersburg Village Council is in their summer schedule, so the next meeting will be Monday, July 13th. The Holmes County Sheriff reported for yesterday one accident, 11 incidents, and these two arrests. Thomas Lee Beckler of Lakeville, who's arrested and charged with driving while under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, driving while under the influence of alcohol and or drugs, breath, and endangering children, operating vehicle under the influence of alcohol or drugs, with children under 18, as well as Matthew Robert Reynolds of Newark, who was arrested and charged with theft times two. There's a petition circulating online to stop the planned Buc-ee's in Mansfield. The Mansfield City Council unanimously approved a plan for the travel center off I-71 near State Route 39. The petition opposing the Buc-ee's has nearly 2,000 signatures. Those against the Buc-ee's include Rachel Stadelman, whose family has a farm in Mansfield.
I don't know what we're going to do. It is going to ruin our farm business. And we started from the ground up, piece by piece.
Council members say it'll bring jobs and money to the city. This would be the state's second Buc-ee's, the first opened in Huber Heights, just outside Dayton, back in April. A Northeast Ohio man and his nonprofit organization have been indicted for allegedly stealing approximately $375,000 in charitable donations. Ohio Attorney General Andy Wilson announced that 41-year-old Jamar Fleming and Agape Ministries, a nonprofit he founded in Canton, both face felony charges of aggravated theft and telecommunications fraud in Stark County Common Pleas Court. According to the indictment, from June of 2022 through May of 2025, Fleming diverted donated funds for personal use while serving as the organization's CEO and pastor. The nonprofit operates mentorship programs for at-risk youth in Canton. Fleming also faces charges of failing to file income tax returns, as well as filing incomplete, false, and fraudulent returns. The Attorney General's Charitable Law Section conducted the investigation and was appointed by the Stark County Prosecutor's Office to prosecute the case. Columbus police officer Timothy Fuller, who is accused of strangling his fiancée multiple times, is also named in a lawsuit regarding a separate domestic violence incident. The lawsuit alleges he failed to take steps to prevent the domestic violence death of 60-year-old Marshall Freeman. Her boyfriend, Stuart Butler, shot and killed her. The lawsuit says Fuller and two other officers responded to Freeman's home twice on the night she was killed. It also says Butler was not allowed to have a gun and Fuller failed to take the weapon away. Butler pleaded guilty to voluntary manslaughter last September. A lawsuit against a Hilliard funeral home is moving through Franklin County Court. Tidd Funeral Home admitting a woman was cremated in error. Nancy Anders died in May 2025. Her family says funeral plans put in place called for Anders to be buried with her late husband of 63 years. The family is now taking the funeral home to court, accusing it of negligence, breach of contract, and emotional distress. Ryan Stenbarausch is a spokesperson for the funeral home. He says the family's attorney demanded $7 million before the lawsuit was filed, a dollar amount he says is way too high. And finally, a missing 6-year-old boy from Maple Heights is now safe after being found in Texas. Officials say the boy's mother reported him missing after 37-year-old DeJuan Younger allegedly picked him up from a relative's residence without permission on Monday. U.S. Marshals found the child yesterday in the Houston area and took Younger into custody on an interference with custody charge. Younger is currently behind bars in Houston, where he is awaiting extradition back to Ohio. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM.